Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news. By the numbers, COVID in the basin. Ector County, 30,625 total cases, 579 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 171 students, 51 staff. Midland County, 30,760 total cases, 423 deaths. Texas, 5,143,345 total cases, 76,643 deaths. U.S. cases, 62,538,796 total confirmed and 840,286 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com. MCH COVID numbers. Medical Center Hospital daily COVID inpatient numbers as of 8:30 a.m. Wednesday. 85 total COVID patients in-house. MedSurg, non-critical, 59 COVID patients. Critical care, 26 COVID patients, 20 on ventilator. 13 unvaccinated, 9 vaccinated, 4 unknown. Of the 20 COVID patients on ventilator, 11 unvaccinated, 6 vaccinated, 3 unknown. Age ranges of COVID patients, 6 weeks old, 80 to 89 years old. Patients from outside Ector County include one from Albuquerque, New Mexico, one from Andrews, one from Big Spring, one from Fort Stockton, one from Kermit, three from Midland, two from Monahans, one from Pecos, one from Presidio, one from Tarrytown. Free COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa, in partnership with DOCS Health, have scheduled drive-through COVID-10 testing from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday at the UTPB Community Sports Fields parking lot located at 191 and Loop 338. The entrance will be located on the 191 Access Road, 42nd Street, and exit will be on Loop 338. The location will only have PCR tests available. On Monday, January 17th, the site will have both PCR tests and rapid antigen tests available. This will be the second COVID-19 testing site set up by the city with no out-of-pocket cost. No appointments needed. However, online registration is available. Testing is subject to daily availability of material. PCR test results are expected within 2 to 3 days in most cases, and rapid test results will be a 15 to 20 minute wait at the site, or you can receive your results via text message. Registration can be done at docshealthtesting.com or register by texting DOCTX to 41411. Health insurance information will be requested if available. COVID-19 Vaccination Clinic. The Ector County Health Department, 211 North Texas Avenue, has scheduled a COVID-19 vaccine clinic from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. and from 1:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. today. First and second doses for ages 12 and older, and boosters only for 16 ages and older will be available. For more information, call 432-498-4141. The Sandhill Stock Show and Rodeo has been scheduled through Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Rodeo performances start at 7:30 p.m. For tickets and full schedule of events, visit sandhillssSR.com. Read to Felix. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Read to Felix at 4 p.m. Thursdays at Third Floor Auditorium at the Library, 321 West 5th Street. Felix is a therapy dog that loves to be read to. One Book Odessa Launch. The Ellen Newell Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, has scheduled One Book Odessa launch at 6 p.m. today. Odessa Arts and the Ellen Newell Art Museum will announce the 2022 lineup for the Authors at the Ector speaker series. Odessa native and best-selling author Elizabeth Wetmore will be presented February 10th at the Ector Theater. Learn more about her book Valentine and the book club events leading up to her visit. There's also a chance to win a free copy of the book and tickets to the event. Mamma Mia, Sing Along. The Wagner Newell Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 Midland, has scheduled Cinema Under the Stars, featuring Mamma Mia, Sing Along, at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Costumes representing characters from Mamma Mia are welcome. Tickets are free. For tickets and costume guidelines, visit wagnernewell.com. Concerts. The Hacienda Event Center, 12160 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Friday, Camila y Carla Rucón Invitado Especial, El Chaparro Chua Schenegger. January 21st, Gerardo Ortiz, La Adictiva, La Fiera de Oenaga y Impacto Sinaloense. For event times and tickets, visit HaciendaMidland.com. Landgraf recognized as courageous conservative. The Texas Conservative Coalition is recognizing State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, for his leadership during the 87th legislative session and subsequent special sessions. The Texas Conservative Coalition is known as the Conservative Caucus of the Texas Legislature. Following each session, TCC recognizes courageous conservatives based on record votes taken during the session that adhere to the caucus's principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Chairman Landgraf has one of the most conservative voting records in the Texas legislature and is a steady, unwavering conservative voice in the Texas House of Representatives, said State Representative James Frank, Republican Wichita Falls, who chairs the caucus. Throughout the 87th session and special sessions, Landgraf cut taxes, protected the unborn, defended the Second Amendment, prioritized securing our border, and stood strong in Texas' fight to protect Texans from the Biden administration's vaccine mandates. I'm 100% opposed to governments mandating COVID-19 vaccinations, and I believe that free people should be able to make the choice for themselves and their families, Landgraf said. That is why I have done everything within my constitutional authority as a state representative to fight back against the Biden administration's unconstitutional COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Landgraf co-authored House Bill 168 during the most recent session of the Texas legislature to protect Texans from being forced to obtain the COVID-19 vaccine. Landgraf has signed multiple briefs to the U.S. Court of Appeals opposing the Biden administration's vaccine mandates, including one that was spearheaded by the Texas Conservative Coalition. The state of Texas, through the Texas Attorney General, has challenged each federal COVID-19 mandate in court. Governor Greg Abbott, through executive order, has forbidden Texas government entities and businesses from forcing vaccine mandates on Texans. I have supported and will continue to support the state's successful legal challenges to vaccine mandates, as the courts are the last venue available for this fight to play out absent a change in federal law, Landgraf continued. Like many Texans, I'm fed up with government overreach into our daily lives. The Biden administration has abandoned the limited government principles laid out in our Constitution. If the governor exercises his constitutional prerogative, which only the governor has, to call a special session to further ban government mandates, of the COVID-19 vaccine, I will proudly be there to again support that bill and vote for it, Landgraf added. City offices closed for MLK Junior Day. City of Odessa offices will be closed Monday in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Trash will not be picked up on Monday. Customers with rollout carts normally serviced on Monday can expect service Tuesday. Customers with rollout carts normally serviced on Tuesday will have their rollout carts serviced on Wednesday. City sales tax revenue up more than 30%. The City of Odessa's sales tax check, which reflects sales made in November, was more than 31% higher than last November's. According to a City of Odessa news release, the city just received a check of roughly $4.5 million, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $914,000 of it. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for FY21-22 is up 33%, or nearly $3.8 million, compared to the budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year, according to the city. The city has budgeted $37,500,000 in net sales tax revenues for the whole fiscal year. The news release indicates Midland received approximately $3.7 million in sales tax revenues for November, and Lubbock just under $5.2 million. Local news roundup. Man charged with assaulting girlfriend and 11-month-old girl. A 27-year-old man was arrested after police say he assaulted his girlfriend and her infant child with his driver's door and then fired several rounds from a black handgun in her and her baby's direction. Javon Leander Bell, 27, was charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. He is being held by the U.S. Marshals. The reported assault happened at 7:30 a.m. January 7th in the 1700 block of West 13th Street. Officers located the victim, identified in the police report as 25-year-old Destiny Moore, who told police she was physically assaulted by her boyfriend, Bell, prior to the disturbance escalating outside in the driveway. Moore stated she was holding her toddler child, an 11-month-old girl, in her arms when Bell reversed with his driver door open and intentionally struck her and her child, causing her to go beneath the door. Moore also told police that prior to Bell leaving the scene, he stopped in the roadway, exited his vehicle, and fired several rounds from a black handgun in the direction of her and her child. One of the rounds struck Moore's parked vehicle. Moore had a fractured left arm, visible injuries to her neck from being choked, and scratches and red marks on her body from being struck by Bell's vehicle door. The 11-month-old girl had a cut from the incident. OPD officers found several shell casings at the scene of the incident, which was consistent with Moore's claim of assault. Bell was booked under the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on January 7th. He has 4 bonds, totaling $100,000, and was still in custody as of Wednesday morning. Woman charged with burglary, shot in neck by homeowner. An Odessa homeowner shot another woman who said she made her fear for her life after trying to grab her through a window she broke. Police charged 37-year-old Trina Luna with burglary of a habitation, a second-degree felony, after she was shot in the neck by the homeowner after she broke through the living room window. Luna was also charged with possession of a controlled substance, a state jail felony. The charge of abandoning or endangering a child, a state jail felony, was dismissed. The shooting happened at 11:06 p.m. December 28th in the 3000 block of Beechwood Street. Officers say they spoke with Luna and other witnesses and learned that Luna had gone to the residence looking for her 17-year-old daughter. Luna banged on the front door before breaking the living room window of the residence prior to being shot by the homeowner. The homeowner, identified as 38-year-old Kara Weisel Barrett, stated that Luna's daughter was dating her juvenile daughter for a couple of years. Weisel Barrett told police that she was asked by Luna's daughter, asking for a place to stay due to being kicked out of her home. Weisel Barrett picked up Luna's daughter at a local park, and after returning home, Weisel Barrett heard banging coming from her front door. Weisel Barrett, in fear, had her firearm as she sat on her couch in the living room. Weisel Barrett told police that Luna looked through the living room window and saw her with the firearm. Luna broke the window to the living room with her fist. Weisel Barrett lost sight of her, so she took a better position closer to the window. Weisel Barrett stated that Luna returned to the window and reached inside in an attempt to grab her. Weisel Barrett, in fear, shot Luna in the neck in an attempt to protect her residence and family. Police detailed in the probable cause affidavit that they believe the glass window was broken from the outside due to the amount of glass found inside the residence and also by the distance the glass traveled inside the residence. Luna was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on January 5th. She has two bonds totaling $33,000 and was still in custody as of Wednesday morning. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Thursday. Reverend Fred H. Babb, aged 88, passed away Friday, December 24th. Fred was born April 8, 1933, in El Paso. He is preceded in death by his wife Yvonne and his brother Gene. He is survived by children Paul Babb and wife Lisa, David Babb and wife Nan, Robert Dyer and wife Pinky, Johnny Dyer and wife Donna, Donna McFadder and husband Donnie, Tommy Dyer and wife Mindy, 13 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Services will be held 10 a.m. Friday, January 14th, at Westminster Presbyterian Church in Fort Worth. Interment will follow at 10 a.m. Saturday, January 15th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. In honor of Fred, the family asks that any memorials be made to Ferncliff Retreat at https://www.ferncliff.org. Laurel Land Funeral Home, Fort Worth, 7100 Crowley Road, phone 817-293-1350. Linda Sue Shule Sullivan of Odessa entered this world January 9, 1946, and left on her 76th birthday for her eternal life, January 9, 1922. She was born in Los Angeles, California, to the late Robert and Helen Shule. She is preceded in death by her two sons, Eric Brandt and Derek Blaine Corbin. She is survived by her husband, David Snuffy Sullivan, three children, David and wife Stephanie Sullivan of Clyde, Jennifer and husband Eddie Bazell of Odessa, and Deborah Sullivan of Abilene, six grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. Viewing will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, January 13th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, January 14th, at Crossroads Fellowship, with David Newton and Ronnie Hampton officiating. The graveside service will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Adelia Navarette, 73, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 9th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Friday, January 14th, at St. Anthony Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Aralee Sotelo Navarrete, 37, of Odessa, died Saturday, January 8th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 1 p.m. January 14th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Father Joe Uecker is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Sally Salgado Gomez, 61, of Odessa, died Friday, January 7th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Friday, January 14th, at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram, the weekend edition, Saturday, January 8th, 2022. Voters need more than recalling January 6th from Democrats. An editorial by Stuart Doreen. Why do President Joe Biden, Democrats across the land, and the left-wing media want to trumpet the January 6th riots? They don't have anything else. Nothing. The current administration has nothing to show for its efforts on COVID, inflation remains high, and the border, well, Democratic leaders never cared about that issue. Deficits, the national debt, supply chains, Afghanistan, crime in larger cities, and Build Back Better, there is nothing for Democrats to run on as the 2022 elections come up. So what they want to do is see if they can make the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol hang around for another 9 or 10 months. That's right. If Democrats have their way, the spotlight will be on what happened before the president took office, not what he and his party have failed to accomplish. We've stated here that those involved in the rioting at the Capitol should be punished for their actions if they broke the law. That is taking place. From my perspective, there were people there with bad intentions, but an armed insurrection that placed a dagger at the throat of democracy, as the president said Thursday, is that really what the likes of QAnon, Shaman, and Jenny Cudd were capable of? I don't see it. Some in politics will tell a candidate there are two ways to win elections. One is to remind people what is going well and why their candidate or party is responsible for it. The other is to remind an electorate what is not going well and then blame the other candidate or party. Democrats lack anything substantial to run on, so they moved to Plan B. January 6th allows Democrats to invoke the name of Trump, and Democrats are willing to take their chances of a repeat of the elections of 2020. Trump is divisive, no doubt about that, but can that blame game save Democrats from the electoral beatdown many expect? Hard to see it. One other thing is worth mentioning that we talk about this campaign strategy. Do not expect the strategy to save Democratic seats in Washington to help the party's candidates in Texas. The National Party has been willing to throw Texas Democrats for decades now, and that will not end in 2022. As long as the party fails in Washington, Democratic Party candidates in Texas will fail to get any traction in their races. Beto O'Rourke won't be able to muster the support needed on the border and in the suburbs to beat Governor Greg Abbott, and the down-ballot candidates will need an act of God or the courts to help a Democrat to win statewide for the first time since the 1990s. Until the party of Pelosi, Schumer, and Biden can move beyond the Trump presidency, its fate seems certain. And if the elections were held today, that fate would be a certain electoral defeat. Even the riots of January 6th can't change that, no matter how much those flames are fanned.
Salt substitute, pros and cons, to your good health for Thursday. Dear Dr. Roach, I love the taste of salt, but I know it is bad for me due to my high blood pressure. So I switched to a salt substitute containing potassium chloride. What are the pros and cons of switching? Dr. Roach writes, a recent large trial showed that salt substitutes are a good idea for older adults at high cardiovascular risk. Those who were in the group who switched to a salt substitute had a lower risk of heart attack and stroke than those who continued to use regular salt. I have occasionally seen very high potassium levels in people who were using blood pressure medicines such as ACE inhibitors and angiotensin receptor blockers. People on these medicines or potassium-sparing diuretics such as triamterene or spironolactone, should check with their doctors before using a salt substitute and should get blood levels checked periodically.
Here was the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, January 13th. Partner cast aside amid man's personal struggles. Dear Abby, for the past 3 years, I've been with a man I believe is the love of my life. Early on, he admitted to a porn addiction that has plagued him his entire life and sabotaged past relationships. With my support, he began his first real attempt at recovery, which included a team of mental health practitioners. His progress over the past 3 years, while not linear, has been tremendous. He's an entirely different person. I would describe our relationship as 90% joyful, 10% agony. He has had 4 brief relapses, during which he has said incredibly hurtful things to me. I agree the cycle must be broken, and only he can do it. A week ago, he had a difficult relapse and ended our relationship. His therapist feels he needs to be on his own to focus on recovery. While I am devastated, I agree. But I can't understand why he is giving up on us forever and making big decisions like getting off the mortgage on the house we bought less than 2 years ago. He swears it has nothing to do with me and that if it weren't for this addiction, he would spend the rest of his life with me. If his plan is to live alone, be single, or celibate, and focus on recovery, why wouldn't he also pause on major financial decisions? Why is he so completely done when there is clearly hope for recovery and reconciliation? Signed, Brokenhearted in Oregon. Dear Brokenhearted, you have involved yourself with someone who has a terrible track record when it comes to relationships. Whatever his plans for the future may be, he does not want a committed relationship with you, nor does he want the financial responsibility and tie to you that the house represents, which is why he wants off the mortgage. It is now time for you to start looking after your own needs and goals. If you stay busy and don't isolate yourself, it will lessen the pain you are feeling. Dear Abby, my brother divorced his first wife 10 years ago. Since then, he has married a wonderful woman my family adores. The problem is, my ex-sister-in-law insists on showing up for family events, which makes these celebrations extremely awkward. Even her children recognize how uncomfortable her presence makes everyone. I don't mind being the bad guy and telling her that she's no longer welcome at family events, but I don't want to cause an ugly scene. How can I diplomatically but firmly tell her to stay away? Any suggestions would be appreciated. Signed, Flummoxed in Philadelphia. Dear Flummoxed, what a sad situation. Your brother, not you, should deliver the message to his ex well before she shows up at your next family event. He should inform her that when she shows up uninvited, her presence makes everyone uncomfortable, and it would be best that she not impose again. You could lessen the hurt by occasionally seeing her separately, depending upon the circumstances of the divorce.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.